left off last week, we're discussing the intricacies of the prohibition of Hachzara, how it plays out for us in this Zman Hazeh. There's one very important shaila that relates to Hachzara. It's something that it's an issue that comes up a lot to caterers, and that's the question of how Hachzara plays out in terms of Amir Liachov. You know, the starting point is that whatever I'm not allowed to do, I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do. Just in case you want to know about some of the parameters of that is, so ask your wives tomorrow night. That's supposed to be the women's sharing tomorrow night. So, if we get the Maram Kamos out for that one, so we'll try to have the Rishi tomorrow night. So normally the rule is that whatever you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do. The issue of Achzor, of Amir Liakob is only a prohibition of the Rabbanon. Obviously on Achzor, except was only an issue of the Rabbanon. It doesn't matter. Amir Liakob applies to the Rabbanon as well. So the starting point would be is that if I can't put the food back in the fire, I can't ask a non-Jew to put the food back in the fire either. However, maybe there would be a bit of grounds of leniency based on the following. There is a din machlekes of Rishonim about what the din is if I ask a non-Jew to do something which itself is only an issur derabbanan, so we're going to twice remove the kol trade derabbanan, and I'm doing it for some big Torah, for some big mitzvah, some hefset, some chutzar, something like that. So is that mutter or not? Is there across the board a green line to say that what's called a shvus, the shvus, the mokom mitzvah? I'm allowed to ask a goy to do something which in turn is only an issur derabbanan, if there's some kind of a great tzorech. So there are many Rishonim hold that for permissible. There's also in Sikh Tammuz and Erevin that the Rishonim people about whether the Gemara actually says that or not. But in Maizen Shukhara, we pass it that it's okay. We pass it that you're allowed to ask non-Jews to do Yisurim Dirabonin if there's some kind of a Mokom Mitzvah. And we rely on that Kula for Maizen Mechol Shabbos. It comes up all the time. We have these kinds of issues. So one of the questions that the Toskim raises, can we apply that principle to Hachzara? Can we say that there's some big Mokom Mitzvah? What's the big Mokom Mitzvah? One of hot food on Shabbos. One of Shabbos, one of the Mokom Mitzvah. So we forgot to put the food on the hair, but you know, there's that little full kind of concept. Now, Tachas, it's a question of either eating cold food or violating Hachzara Derech Amir Eliyachom. So some poskim wanted to be megal, that shvus to shvus of Mokom Mitzvah, plug in that formula, which we want to. You can ask the non-Jews to do an array of things that would otherwise be Hachzara. That's what some wanted to be megal. So the Mishnah does quote that as a possibility, maybe Shasar Chach, maybe, but many later poskim did not like that at all. And first and foremost, it was against that idea, was the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish explained the reason why that's a big problem is because this prohibition of Hachzara, for that matter, Shehiyah as well, are not Isurei Maisa. It's not pshat that you're not allowed to do an action. The Isur of Hachzara, the Isur of Shehiyah, is what we call Isurei Matzav. You're not allowed to be in a certain state. The whole fear is Shem Yechat Yecholim. So what's the difference whether you put the food on the fire or whether the non-Jew put the food on the fire? At the end of the day, your food is sitting on the fire and that fear of Shem Yechat Yecholim exists. So it's not that you did an action that was also. The action is not also. It's creating a status of food on the fire that becomes the problem. The Chazdish gives a mashal. He says that what if a monkey comes? It's his mashal, not my mashal. The Chazdish says, a monkey comes and takes your pot, very good trained monkey, takes your pot out of the food and puts it onto the fire in Shabbos. So the Chazdish says, you have to take it off. Why? I didn't do anything. Baruch Hashem, for my small monkey. No, says the Chazdish, you have to take it off because you're in an ongoing state of the Yisra of Hachzara, because you're in a state of Shem Yichat and Yichol. So therefore, Amir Liakob was a joke. It's not going to help me. Amir Liakob is not going to be any better than it would happen by itself. So of course you can't rely on Amir Liakob. So this is the shayla that the caterers have, that some of the caterers like to rely on the skula. That we couldn't figure out a way to heat up the food. Everything's a macha mitzvah, everything's a tzorech, everything's a this, everything's a shevach, to see a masechet, to see a mashas, everything's a macha mitzvah. And therefore we can have hot food. So a lot of hashkochas don't allow this. There are some hashkochas that would allow this on a certain extent. Many hashkochas. I'm pretty sure we are on the side of the shkoch that don't allow this. At least we're not supposed to be allowing this. We're not supposed to be having goyim doing things that otherwise also mishum hachzara. Okay, it was just a little bit of shirayim that we spoke about last week. We now move into the third of the isurim, which are in a certain sense lumped together. One was shehiyah, leaving food on the fire from before Shabbos. One is hachzara, returning food to the fire on Shabbos. And the third is hatmana. It's food that's not necessarily on the fire, but the food is in a place where it is retaining its heat and perhaps even gaining its heat because it is all wrapped up. So you have food that's all wrapped up. Even in the days of Chazal, it's submerged in a bucket of coals. Or Bizman Hazeh, it's wrapped up in some other kind of, maybe aluminum foil or It's wrapped up perhaps inside of a crock pot, or it's wrapped up inside blankets to keep it warm. There's sort of a different array of different ways of maintaining a tzid, or perhaps even adding onto a tzid. And all the above are run into potential questions of what's called hatmana. It's actually the whole parak of Masechta Shabbos, the whole fourth parak of Shabbos is dedicated to the prohibition of hatmana. So what is hatmana? What is not hatmana? What are the parameters of hatmana? So we'll try to discuss a little bit today, the background, and then try to see how much we can plug in the mice in terms of some applications of hatmana bizman hazeh. What is the problem with hatmana? What's the big deal? I have food, and the food's wrapped up in a blanket. So asman, I have food, the food is wrapped up in coals. So asman, what's the big deal? So it's not 100% clear what the problem is. There's actually a gemara in the end of the seventh parak on the seventh Shabbos that says two things about hatmana. It's machlokes Rashi and the Riff. What exactly the gemara said? So we're going to go with the ikmos, the Riff, and the Rambam. It seems to me the more the Rishonim seem to say that the fundamental reason of hatmana, everything ultimately boils down to, no pun intended, to shemayat and beremetz. Remetz is like coals and ashes and things that are still glowing a little bit. That Chazal was concerned that in the olden days, the normal way to wrap something up to keep it hot was to put it into ashes, to put it into a bucket of coals or something. That was the normal way of doing it, and that's very bad. We do not want people to be doing that on Shabbos. We don't want people to be doing that even from before Shabbos. Last thing we would like is food to be wrapped up and submerged in a bucket of coals, because if you do that, so then we're back to our good old friends of Shem Yichat and the Gicholim. We're afraid that when coals are not doing as good a job as you'd like them to do, you're going to start to stir the coals. So therefore, Chazal did not want food wrapped up and submerged in coals. That was the absolute big, that was the biggest problem. But as an extension of that, Chazal created a whole prohibition called Hatmana, is that we want to get people out of that mindset, get people out of that way of thinking that we can wrap things up for Shabbos, or wrap things up perhaps on Shabbos also. And therefore, they instituted the following gezeira. Even things that are not coals per se, even things that there is no Shem Yichat Bicham, there's nothing to be Mechata, there are no Gicholam, there's nothing to be Mechata with. It doesn't matter. If it gives off even the impression, if it smacks of Atman a little bit, if it could potentially be misconstrued with Gecholim, so that's also off limits. So even though the original Gezeira was Shem Yechat to be Gecholim, and therefore we don't want Hatman to be Gecholim, but Chazal extended it to way, way, way beyond just the scenario of Gecholim per se. So how far do we extend it? What does it mean to wrap something up? So here the Gemara tells us that based on the Mishnayos and the second Berachos Shabbos and the Mishnayos and the fourth Berachos Shabbos, the Gemara comes up with the following idea. It's not brisket Torah. There are two halachas. There are two different dinim of Atmana. There's Atmana on Shabbos and there's Atmana on Erev Shabbos. If you do Atmana on Shabbos, that's very, very chomer. That's like the worst of the worst. The Imam is doing act of Atmana on Shabbos per se. And Atmana on Shabbos is so chomer. The Chazal said that anything that, even though it's not actually getting hotter, the food is not really, really getting hotter, but it's still retaining its heat. It's what's called davar ha'ma'am in hevel. Even if it's merely a davar ha'ma'am in hevel, that's a problem. So what would that mean practically? So let's say, for example, a person has a big chillin pot, and they want to carry this chillin pot across the street. They have a chillin pot across the street. They want to carry this huge chillin pot across the street, and they don't want it to get cold. So what do? So they take a blanket, and they start wrapping it around. This big simashash blanket, start wrapping it around to keep it warm. Now, it's not going to get hotter, because the blanket is not a source of heat, so obviously it's not going to get, the temperature's not going to go up. The other end, the temperature will remain around the same. So if you wrap around your pot of soup, you wrap around your chowin pot, that is an example of atmana on Shabbos per se. And even though the food is not getting hotter, that is potentially a problem. That's a gezeira of atmana, gezeira shema, yatne beremet, shem yichad v'chom, etc., etc., etc. Those kinds of Shabbos we do have. I remember when I was younger, we used to have the Shabbos all the time. On Shabbos, Chol Moed Sukkos, we lived in an apartment building, and our sukkah was downstairs in the parking lot. And so my mother would bring down the food on Friday, for the Yom Tov meals, for the Friday night meals. So she would schlep down the food down four flights of stairs. So you want to have a good hot bowl of soup on Friday night, you're going to bring it up from the fourth floor, and by the time you get down, by the time you make Kiddush, you're going to spieze, then you're going to buy a cup of soup. So you have to start wrapping it up in towels and blankets, try to keep everything hot. So yeah, so careful, you have to be very, very careful. You have to do that in a way that's permissible, because otherwise you're running into a problem of Atman. I remember once at once we had a share of brachas in L.A. So people were bringing food from down the block, up the hall around. People were carrying in pots of chillin wrapped up in blankets, pots of kugels, and trays of kugels wrapped. That was L.A. when it was so cold. And they're wrapping things up, so you have to be careful. Those are all potential issues of atmana.
Is there kavana matter here?
What?
Is there kavana
matter? Yeah, man, big time. Yeah, man, it's a big difference.
That you can hold the pot without burning yourself.
Okay, yeah, so that may actually be mutter. If your kavana is not to keep it warm, that may actually be mutter. We'll see as we go on. That's one of the good heterim possibly for the month. But the case of the sukkah soup, it wasn't to keep myself warm, it was to keep the soup warm. But then the Mishnayos in the fourth parak of Maseches Shabbos, parak of Metomnid, go one step further. They say that there's even the hint of Atman on Erev Shabbos. What's the problem? Erev Shabbos, but the same thing. So comes the Mishnayos in the fourth parak of Shabbos and say that if you're doing Atman on Erev Shabbos, it's also a problem of Atmana, but the problem of Atmana is a little bit less severe, and therefore the issur of Atmana is only violated if you're matmin in a davar hamosif hevel. If it's something that not only is maintaining heat, it gets more than that, it's actually adding heat to something. How are you going to add heat to something? If it's a blanket, it's not going to add heat. Well, if it's a electric blanket, it'll add heat. But something that's going to make it even hotter, that's going to be a problem. What would a practical example of that be? Let's say I have something sitting on the fire from before Shabbos. If something's sitting on the fire before Shabbos, that's not the end of the world. Maybe Shehiyah with a black, right? You can figure out ways to get around Shehiyah. But if it's wrapped up on the fire from before Shabbos, that's a problem. Because even though the Dover HaMatmin, the thing that's wrapping around, is not Mosif Hevel, but the food is in a place that is Mosif Hevel. So any time the food is being Mosif Hevel to it, even though the Dover HaMatmin itself is not the source of the Hevel, that's also a problem. And that's a problem even on Friday afternoon. So let's say if I leave food on a blech on Friday afternoon, and I start taking towels and wrapping it around, that's a problem. Even though I'm doing the wrapping on Erev Shabbos, that's called Atman B'Davram Moisiv Hevel, because the fire, the blech, is adding Hevel, and the food is Mukmam with the blankets. That's a problem. So you have some devices that actually will make that way. You have some, these big blankets that say on the Mechavet Shabbos Kodesh. I remember many years ago, Rabbi Willett said you should just cross out the word Mechavet and just put in the word Lechil Shabbos Kodesh, because they don't want something comes about Atmana. So we have to see whether that's true or not, and how else to set these things up. Again, so whenever we're talking about the sugya of Atmana, so we have to ask ourselves a couple of questions. We have to ask ourselves, when am I doing this act of Atmana? Is this taking place on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos? And just because it's Erev Shabbos doesn't mean it's mutter, just means it's a little bit more lenient. And number two, what is happening to my food? Is my food getting hotter or simply maintaining the heat? If it's getting hotter, that's a huge problem, even on Friday. If it's simply maintaining the heat, then it's a problem on Shabbos, but not on Friday. Why all these pieces of information should be true is part of the Machlokes Rashi in the Rif as to what the Gemara did or did not say in the second Brachah of the second Shabbos. So you got yourselves about, let's say, how many Brachas? 60 plus blot in Brachas. And you got about, I think that's Lamed Aleph, if I'm mistaken. So in Shabbos, you got about 100 days or so, give or take, until you bump into that Sugya. So you'll see the big Machlokes of Rishonim, what the reason for all the things I just said is, but Hayotz Me'advarim, that's what happens. And the bottom line is, I just present what the Maskana Sikamur is, no matter how you got to the longest, everyone agrees to the same facts. So the bottom line is, Erev Shabbos, a Dover on Mosif Hevel is a problem, on Shabbos itself, even a Dover on Mohammed Hevel is a problem.
So to what extent, though, does it, like if someone makes a thing of what's called a chicken in a tin, so then if they cover the tin, right, is that a problem?
That's exactly what you need to, right?
But not even with the blanket, just if
We have a long way to go. We have to figure out what is Atmana, what's not Atmana. Covering, what are we covering? Are we covering the food? Are we covering the pot? Covering the tin? We've got a lot of work to do. I didn't tell you all the answers by next Shabbos, but we'll try to get some of them. There is a major conceptual machlokes of Rishonim.
Is there a certain temperature that, like if it's not a certain temperature, that this doesn't apply?
If it's mostly for Mamet Hevel, it's still a big problem. Yeah, it's still a problem.
So basically anything that's...
I think it's the Mamet Hevel.
So if you have a challah that's relatively warm, and you cover it to make kiddush,
cover with a blanket or something. So we have to talk about, we'll talk a little about kavanah and what's called the zarin, that's all these things. There's a major, major conceptual machlokes of Rishonim, which is going to spill over in terms of very, very real practical differences, as to how do you understand the prohibition of Atmana in light of everything we talked about a couple of weeks ago in terms of Shehiyah. Atmana, at least Atmana and Erev Shabbos and Shehiyah are almost related to one another, they're cousins to one another. They're acts that are being done on Friday afternoon. Both of them are for the goal of having the food to be eaten on Shabbos. Both of them involve some kind of a heat source. So what's the difference? Maybe the mice, it's all the same thing. So one is derech hatmana, one is not derech hatmana, one is a little more chomer, a little less chomer, but aren't they fundamentally the same? Not only are they fundamentally the same, they're made for the same reason. They're all rooted in shemichat and b'cholos. So this was a major, major machlokes of Rishonim. Just how similar are they? So the Rashbam was very, very naked. The Rashbam said they're pretty much the same thing in the following sense. Says the Rashbam, if it's mutter for shahiya, then it's mutter for atmana. Whatever coolers you have in uchas shahiya are going to be mutter even in uchas atmana. So shahiya always means your mom is sitting on top of the fire, you're sitting on top of coals, that's shahiya. Atmana is locked off on the fire. You can have something which is off the fire like gamre, but it's just keeping, having some kind of a kunz to keep it warm. So they are slightly different physically, but in terms of halakhah, they're for the same reason and they're subject to the same leniencies. What are some of the leniencies? So the Rashbam makes reference back to the machlokes from a few weeks ago, the machlokes Hanani and the Rabbanan. Hanani's opinion was that once something is Maicha ben Risoy, the game's over. Once it's a third cook, half cooked, and then everything's okay, there's nothing to worry about. What Meshuggah is going to be Mechat B'Gicholim? Why would that be Mechat B'Gicholim? The food's edible anyway. So comes the Rashbam and says in one fell swoop that just as Shem Yechat B'Gicholim according to Hananiah is overcome by once it reaches the point of Michael Ben Jusai, the same is true for the Issa Batmana. If there's no prohibition of Batmana post Michael Ben Jusai, if you hold like Hananiah, we're not sure we follow Hananiah, but Balei Tosfos is very Mekelin the Shaila. Rashi is Mekelin the Shaila. So the Rashbam, one of our is Rashi's grandson. So the Rashbam says, you put two and two together. If you make your pasul like Hananiah, and you hold that the coolers of Shahiyah and the coolers of Atman are basically one and the same, it's a gevalik cooler. We can just snap off the whole list of Atman. Atman is het gomer as long as the food is cooked already, kamacha ben yusoy. Therefore, the soup and the soup is okay, and the chont and the sherev brach, everything's okay. Bacham the shayla. As long as I pask him that it's macha ben yusoy, so finish them done.
When would you ever have had an innermost hevel Atman on Shabbos?
When would you ever have it?
Meaning, what is the situation where someone would...
Okay. So we may have to tone down this Rashbam for a minute. The Rashbam may have been addressing the Erev Shabbos to Katamana, not the Shabbos to Katamana. In the end, we're not going to spend too much time on it because we probably apostate this Rashbam anyway. But you're right. The Rashbam was addressing the Erev Shabbos more than the Shabbos per se. So according to the Rashbam, whatever you think the answer was by Shahiyah, that's going to be the answer by Atman as well. So that's going to be quite a cool. That's going to knock Atman, at least Erev Shabbos, to knock it pretty much out of the box. Rabbi Natam said that the whole premise of the Rashbam is not correct. These are the two brothers. They were both eating at the parents' house. And the Rashbam said, yeah, it's okay. Everything's fine. Rabbi Natam said, I can't eat in this house. He said, everything's out of Atman. So Rabbi Natam says, no. What my brother says is not right. He says, Atman l'chud and Shahiyah l'chud. Rabbi Natam said that the concern for Atmana is much, much, much more serious than for Shahiyah. What's the difference? Why are we so much more concerned for Atmana than Shahiyah? So then there are different nuances within Rabbi Natam. Why are we more concerned? Why is there a higher degree of concern of Shem Yechat B'Gicholim that not for the cool is out of the box? So one of the reasons that Rabbi Natam says is that Shahiyah, the goal of Shahiyah is usually to eat the food on Friday night. The goal of Atmana is to keep the food warm for tomorrow. Let's not forget, in the old days, they didn't have any device, there were no hot plates, the kunsim that we've developed the last 50 years, that reheat food on Shabbos didn't exist. So if you wanted hot food on Shabbos, you had to figure out a way to keep it hot from before Shabbos. So all kind of kunsim and games about Atmana, the goal is to keep it for tomorrow. So to keep it for tomorrow, it's got to last a 12-hour cold, Russian night, you know, who said it's going to remain? It's going to remain warm. So the person's nervous, he's sittering, he's shaking, he's thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to come from Shul tomorrow, the food's going to be ice cold. So he's much, much more concerned. If the guy goes Friday afternoon, he left his house Friday afternoon, the food was piping hot, he left it onto the open fire. He's covered. How long is the Abba going to be? Don't answer that question. How long is the Rabbi going to talk? How long is the Kabbalah Shabbat? How long is Kabbalah going to sing? It's not going to be so long. But we open an hour, so the food's not going to get so cold. So his wife's not so nervous. So he's Davin Meyer. She's Davin Meyer. Everyone's happy. The kids are playing. Everyone's beautiful. That peaceful, serene Friday afternoon that never happens in any home. But whatever, we know what it's like. And then the husband walks into the house and eats his hot, piping hot food. Every Shalom Yisrael. There was no need to be Mechatin cold. But for tomorrow, says Rabbi Tam, go vault, my Eilid Yom, by tomorrow morning, the food's going to be ice cold. So he wakes up at 2 in the morning, he runs downstairs, he starts piping around, starts moving around, stirring the coals. So the fear of Shem Yechat becomes much greater by Hatmana. If that's the case, then all the coolers fall by the wayside. And it's the Sparshal Chol. Tzorchol doesn't help, but the Soy Zichra, nothing helps. So how do we pass it along? So we try to follow Rabbi Tam, we try not to take that attitude that just because it reached point X, therefore it's mutter. We try lechatchila to follow the rules of Atmana across the board, no matter how cooked or not cooked the food is. Do we hold that Shahiyah l'chud and Atmana l'chud? How do you know whether you're dealing with the question of Shahiyah or whether you're dealing with the question of Atmana? The answer is very simple. If the food is covered, if it's wrapped up, that is hatmana. If the food is not wrapped up, it's just sitting exposed on the fire, that is shehiyah. So if you left your pot sitting on a plach, it's not covered up, not wrapped up, not covered with any kind of derech hatmana. So then you have a shehiyah shayla, so then you have chananya and rabbanan, and you have all the kulas that we spoke about in the previous weeks. But once you start to introduce blankets and maiseluch and all kind of things to warm, to wrap around the food, then you're dealing with the issur of hatmana. At what point do we say that the food is wrapped up, that the issur of hatmana actually begins to kick in? So this was a major machlokes of rishonim as well. So there were some rishonim who were of the opinion that as soon as the pot, now again, food is always inside a pot, that's not hatmana. We don't view the pot as being matmin the food. We have to, the pot is part of the food, the pot is the extension of the food, and now you have to be matmin that pot in order to run into a problem of hatmana. So what does that mean, you have to be mapped in the pot? So there was some Rishonim who said that as long as the pot is mutman a little bit, as long as part of the pot is surrounded with something that either mamet have or most of have, depending on whether you think you're on Friday and Shabbos, once part of the pot, atmanah b'mitzvah s'shmah atmanah, once the pot is mutman a little bit, that's already a cause for concern. So that was actually the Gula Shacharach. Shacharach was actually machmer in that shayla. He describes that if a pot is mutman even a little bit, that would be a problem. Therefore, the Shacharach writes that, let's say in the olden days you wanted to leave a pot on the fire before Shabbos, you have to be careful that the pot's not sitting in the coals itself. If even part of the pot is sitting in the coals, that's a no-no. Because even if the bottom part of the pot is submerged in the coals, even though 90% of the pot is exposed, that's not shehiyah anymore, that's atmana. Now shehiyah, you got a lot of coolers, nachum desoyis, pashkot tzorcho, saifaral, all the coolers that we spoke about in the past. But we follow Rabbi Natan that when it comes to atmana, there are no coolers, there are no breaks. So says the Shulchan Aruch, if you have even atmana b'mitzvah, you have a problem. So you have to be very careful that it shouldn't have any shape or form of atmana. So the Rabbi Natan was making on that one. So even though we're machlek like Rabbi Natan's version of atmana, but we're making on the following, Rabbi Natan is quoted by the Ramah, says no, that's not called atmana. In order for it to be atmana, it has to be completely mutman. We're going to redefine that in a minute. It has to be completely covered. Otherwise, it's just a fancy shehiyah. And if it's shehiyah, then it's basically a mutter. So what does Rabbi Natan mean when he says that it can be completely mutman? So this is a very, very controversial question. And if you remember when this issue came to light about 25 years ago or so, I can always date it because this issue erupted right around the time we got married. Which is, what did Rabbi Natan mean? And it's important for us, especially Ashkenaz, because there are more possible than Rabbi Natan. What would Rabbi Natan say about the following? What if you have a pot that's not completely covered, but it's mostly covered? Rove of the pot is surrounded with some kind of blanket, mechanism, something like that. Surrounded with something that's a mamet, most of whatever the case may be. But not completely. Part of it is exposed. Let's say the top of the pot is exposed. The pot is not covered with anything. I take a big pot of cholent, and I wrap it around with a blanket around all sides, except for the top. I leave the top open. Is that called atmana b'kulo or not? So that's a big, big question. So the truth is, this was a question already in the earlier, the pre-Megunim already is Maramis to this. But somehow this was like on the, no pun intended, on the back burner in Klai Yisrael for hundreds of years. Nobody really thought about this topic too much until crockpots started to become very, very popular. And now, all of a sudden, a red flag was raised with crockpots. And I'm talking about crockpots, talking about good old style, not the one-piece crockpot, those are the real ones, like from Sheshi Vibratius. The classic two-piece crockpot that you put the, I don't know, it's called the crock inside the pot, I'm not sure which is which, but you put the inner piece, which has the children in it, inside the outer piece, which has the heating element to it. So the question becomes, wait a second, a red flag was raised, that's an Issa Gomor of Hatamana. Very simple. In the days of Chazal, if you took a pot and you stuck it into a pile of coals, according to the Machmirim, even if it was a little bit submerged in the coals, you had a problem. But if it was completely submerged in the coals, for sure, yeah, that's Hatmana L'Cholodeis. Over here, what you basically did is you submerged your pile of shoy into a pile of coals. It's not coals, but what's the difference? It's a element, it's a heating element, which it's touching the heating element, it's being surrounded by the heating element on all sides, almost, except for the top. The top is exposed. There's a cover on the top, but that's not a cover amatna, that's the cover of the pot. A pot itself is not atmana, and the pot cover is not atmana. But when you superimpose something external, a third thing, a second thing, surrounding it, then you're walking into atmana problem. So this was the famous psak that Rosh Hashanah issued approximately 25 years ago, just about to the day. 25 years ago, Rosh Hashanah came out with a psak that said that the regular standard crock pot that was being used by in all homes in Klai Yisrael was an Issa Gomor because of Atmana, even though it was set up on Friday afternoon. But it's a Dabraham, most of Hevel, it's getting hot. All right, things on. It's not on. You're going to have cultural the next day. So it's a Dabraham, most of Hevel. It's at the Mana, the Kulo, and the Dabraham, most of Hevel. It's Asma Cholodeus. It's not really the Kulo, it's only the Ruba because the whole top is exposed. Shlomo Zalman says, never heard of the principle of Ruba Kakulo. We pass it to Cheshit like that. We drink our wine at the center like Ruba Kakulo. So Ruba Kakulo, most of the pot is covered. That's also considered to be a problem. That was a famous issue that Shlomo Zalman came out with. Zepsach was publicized about 25 years ago. And then the whole world got into an uproar about this. Some of them were agreeing with this and with that. There's a lot of tumult. People tried to get, try to convince Shlomo Zalman the other way. And then Shlomo Zalman passed away. Shlomo Zalman was in the middle of the crisis. I think this was the last, probably the last, monumental psach that Shlomo Zalman issued, and then Nebuchadnezzar was nifter, and then kind of like the Papula Shatar, and Machat Shatar kind of literally died. So no one got a chance to convince Shlomo Zalman to try to convince Shlomo Zalman otherwise. However, notwithstanding the Gabdos, Hail Gadig, and the place of Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe was making on this. Rav Moshe's Tshuvas, where he already addressed this issue, and Rav Moshe was assuming as a little posher that this was not a problem. Rav Moshe was of the opinion that whenever you have a hatmana, it has to be a hatmana of a kulo mamish, even if it mixes and the pot is exposed. The other thing is, Rav Moshe says, it has to be some kind of a significant part of the mixes. Rav Moshe says, you have a tremendous, tremendous pot, and the whole pot, 99.99% of the pot is covered, and you have a little corner on the top of the pot, like 1.5 inch, that the food is 20 feet away from. There's no shaychus to the food in the pot. I'm sure it was on the that's a little tummy already. That's no good. But if you have a significant part of the pot that's exposed, that's where the food is, and it's impacting on the lack of heat there of the pot, so man have kulino. You don't say Rubik Kulo here. It's not a chashchit. You don't say Rubik Kulo, and that's not called out the man of a kulo, and therefore would be moved to a Moshe, so all the crock pots would be okay. There's nothing to worry about the crock pots.
What if you put food on top of the crock pot? Does that create a hot mana problem?
I mean, the food
if you come, if you put other food on top of that,
probably not, because the goal of that food is not to keep it. It goes back to the Kavanah story that Admana Makula means that you'll be mad the Makula lit Sorech Lachamis Ocha. So that's, unless you have some cuckoo way of reheating the pot inside by putting cold kugel on it, I'm not sure that's going to happen. So I don't think it's going to work. I don't think so. I think it's okay. So anyway, so this is a running method. How do we pass on it? Depends who we are. So, I'll tell you a little bit of the background. I've told the story before, a little bit of the historical background, how this played out in Washington Heights when I lived. This just happened right around when we got married. So we had received as a wedding present, like everybody else, 20 crock pots. Of course, all the ones that were the controversial crock pots. So at the time, Rabbi Willig thought that Shlomo Zalman's talk was correct. Rabbi Willig had thought of this beforehand. He had already thought all the crackpots were a problem before Shlomo Zalman issued the pesach, but he told me that he didn't want to be a fire sender because the other ones, everyone was using it, was lying on Moshe, he's going to make a fuss about it. After Shlomo Zalman said it, and then he said, by the way, I have in print that I wrote this up, 6 years before. So he also thought that it was a problem. So he didn't like the crackpots. So what are we doing with these crackpots? So we got to start returning all these crackpots. We need the crackpots. So what are you going to do? So you have to go back to the old star crackpots. Oh, the old star crackpots, the one piece crackpots. So the old style crock pots were great in terms of halacha. There's no hatmana. There's nothing being mopped at anything. It's just a pot. It's a pot and there's an element somewhere inside. There's nothing coming in, nothing, there's no insert or anything. So it's not there hatmana, but chalal. It's just you have a pot and it's finished. So those are great. The problem with the one piece crock pots are multiple problems. They are more of Achzara problems than other problems. Namely, we spoke a little bit about this back in the Achzara days, back in the Bishul days. There's a whole question about scooping food off the fire on Shabbos. They have a big pot of cholent sitting on the fire. So we try the Chachilah not to scoop the cholent out on Shabbos itself as a concern of what's called Hagosa. The Rishonim write that if you stir food on the fire, that's a potential Bishul problem. And some Rishonim even have a big chumra that we're not quite sure we understand, even if it's this Bashar Kotorcho, the famous chumra for the Kolbo. And if something is even the Skashar Kotorcho, maybe there may be a problem of stirring it. So we have a general rule, what you can't stir, you can't scoop, because when you scoop, you tend to stir things. So there is a practice, many people have, not to scoop out the cholent while it's sitting on the fire. Many people do that. So on Shabbos morning, it's no big deal, so you take them off and finish. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. You want to have fried night cholent, so if you want to follow this chumra, not scooping out while it's on the fire, then you have to take it off the fire, and then you got to put it back on again, so you have to be careful about achzara. The problem with the one-piece crock pot is that there's no way to do any of this. The one-piece crock pot is pshuto k'mishmo. you're always going to be stirring, you're always going to be scooping in while it's on. It's always on the fire. It's always on the heating element. That's where the kli is made. So those who want to follow the chum of the kolbo are going to have problems with this. There can be other problems with this. Also, it's impossible to put blechs on. There's no aluminum, no place to put aluminum for. There are a lot of potential small issues with the one-piece crafter. So for years, people stayed away from the one-piece crafter, and people were thrilled with the two-piece crafter. Now the Rishon Zalman's Pesach came out, and asked them the two-piece crafter, some people started to go back to the one-piece crafter. So you have a Kosovo Shlishi. So we want to find the crafter that's going to work with Chol HaDeis. We don't want to worry about Shiyan Achzor. We don't want to be concerned with Hatmana. So you need another crafter. So what's the third crafter called? The West Bend came up with a third kind of crapper that I don't know whether they made it because they wanted the Yetzer Shalom Zalman's Chumra, I don't think so, but they made a crapper which is almost like, if you've ever seen it in some shape or form, it's based like a little stove. It's a little heating element on the bottom, and you just put the pot with the chill on top. So rather than putting it inside, place it on top. So that's the best. That's how much the best of the best, because there's no Hatman issue whatsoever because it's not inside. And there's no Shiyav Zara, just put a piece of aluminum foil under it and call it a day. So those are great. So at the time, when we were returning all our wedding gifts, my wife discovered, she used to work in Bar Park, so she discovered that in one of the from appliance stores of Bar Park, they were selling the West End crap pots. So I told her to buy this kind of crap. This is a cool crap we're going to use. So we're doing all the Shlomo Zalman anti-crap pots. We're buying all the new West End crap pots. So when, at the time, I used to say a Shabbos shiur for some of the young couples, some of the young women in the neighborhood. So I remember on Sunday evenings in our apartment, I used to say she was around those days. I don't see anyone who was okay. His wife was a part of that chevra. But I used to say a Shabbos shiur for the women. So at the time, I mentioned this new craft pot on the market. Well, I thought this was the best of all the craft pots. So some of the women asked, "Where do we get it?" So at the time, this was like. This is like low tech before Amazon days. So the only place to go is to go to Bar Park to buy it. Who's going to shut up from the heights of Bar Park? Except my wife. We used to drive there 3 days a week. So every day she was going to the same appliance store and buying new crap pots. Everyone was putting in orders. So she was mamish there. She were not getting a kickback from the appliance store. She was buying it. So it reached the point where even Rabbi Willig ordered a crap pot. So for a short time it was known as the Efrat crap pot. It was called in the heights the Efrat crap pot. And everyone in the heights had these crap pots. So this was going on for a while, and then over the years, I think, they still make them? You still have them? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I have them on Amazon.
Okay, let's see if we can get back to Amazon. Okay, so I think that appliance still won't close, and my wife stopped working at Bar Park, so we lost that half an hour and a half. So then what happened was, some of the ones that were Shlomo Zalman, the old style two-piece crap pots, so some posted here with some very creative ideas how to make a muti even according to Shlomo Zalman, and you may have seen both. Balls of aluminum foil and piece of aluminum foil, all kind of different arrangements to try to touch up the crap pots that were problematic. So over the last couple of years, we haven't reinvested in the West Bend. We went back to the old crap pots, but we try to do it in a way that's probably more even according to the machmirim. So we'll talk a little bit about that in the next year. Okay.